wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning, this April 30th, the end of the month once again, 2022. And we welcome everyone online. We have a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. Tim, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
And Brother Paul, glad you could join in. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And it's always good to have an opinion from way down south in the comments there. So, Josh, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant from all over. Early morning up in Alaska. And even out in California, but good morning to you and East Coast, North, South, all of the Remnant. We welcome you and thank you for joining us this morning. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got our coffee, we have our Bibles, and we gather in the name of Jesus Christ for fellowship and iron sharpens iron, to step in with that and to encourage one another and to glorify God and to praise Him. And we'll have the phone lines open. It's a live program this morning. It does replay a couple times. Replays Monday night. But right now it's live, so the phone lines are open. We're going to open with a quick word of prayer. Josh, would you open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the countless blessings you've poured out upon us, Lord. We do pray that you forgive us of our sins, Lord, on a personal level and also as a national level. We pray that, Lord, in your wrath, you'd remember mercy for your people, Lord, and that we would turn back to you and turn from our wicked ways, repent, Lord, and be healed as the godly Christian nation that we were founded to be, Lord. We do pray that you'd grant us that full armor of Ephesians 6, Lord, and help us to stay strong in your word, Lord, and act like men. I pray this broadcast will be a blessing to the remnant, Lord, as it goes out. For all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And again, remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. And we were speaking before the broadcast came on, when everybody was getting on, and just about Tim, you mentioned the fires that you're having there in Nebraska, and we've certainly seen them down in Arizona, New Mexico, all around Flagstaff has had communities burned over, and it's awful early in the year for that to be happening. And in the fire service, at least the wildland fire service, they talk about the fire season, you know, and it usually starts getting geared up about March or April, usually the end of April. Things start drying out, they start gearing up, you know, you start having more of your spring and pre-summer storms that roll in that bring lightning and things like that, and so that's usually about when the season starts. And then by May and into June, it's, you know, you're really into the season, and then usually August, September, things are winding down. They're starting to cool off, and so that's kind of the wildland fire season, at least in the past. Not anymore. We see it year round. We've seen it in California. We saw a huge burned over 1,000 homes in the Boulder area back in December, and now early over in Nebraska, and things are changing. You know, they're not like they were a year ago. They're not like they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And Tim, you had made a comment of that, you know, just from what, from mainly being dry? Is that what you're seeing over there?
Well, it's very dry for this time of the year. And coming out of winter, of course, we've got very little snow, very little moisture. And of course, they're talk about a lot of, the winds have been just unreal, even for Nebraska. there's a lot of things going on right now that it reminds me of, as God brings those things on, he remembers his mercies toward his people. And the kindness is that he's bringing that reminder to those people that have left him out of their lives and out of their thinking. And we see it's like, you know, as a way, and we've got people putting ads in the paper and on the radio and different places like that saying, Nebraska, pray for Ring, you know, I mean, it's that big a deal. I mean, and it's funny how, I can always remember, some of the soldiers I knew, you know, they said, there are no atheists in foxholes, you know, it's kind of that way. When there's a drought and fires and all this kind of stuff going on, the atheists kind of disappear out of the community altogether, because being able to explain something doesn't, scientifically, which is just another religion, doesn't negate the fact that it doesn't mean that there's not another, that there's not another operator in there that's causational or having something to do with it, and that's our Heavenly Father. I mean, he's got the playbook, and you can come to the throne willingly, or you can be dragged kicking and screaming, but every knee will bow. So, and I think that some of those things are going on. I mean, it's people are looking up and going, "Hey, we've tried all this. Maybe we need to look at some heavenly help and get there." So, I know.
Amen. Amen. Well, that is encouraging. I know that from Nebraska north into the Dakotas and south into Kansas and Arkansas and in Texas, and then everything west is drought. We've been in about a 10-year drought that kind of fluctuates, you know, a little adjustment here and there, and they've got a little moisture on the southwestern part of the country. But for the most part, two-thirds of the nation is in a severe drought. We saw over the last year Lake Mead and Lake Powell down in the Vegas area, in that area, which is where the huge Colorado River Basin flows, not just the Colorado River, but, the southwestern, the moisture that hits from here west and from here south flows into that area. And those lakes are at record lows. I don't think they're even using the hydroelectric plant there at Hoover Dam, if you've ever been there. We were there years ago, massive amounts of water, and it's record lows. It's below the spillways now. And that feeds millions of people in the southwestern United States, down to southern, from here to there and to Southern California. And the water's just not there. The snowpack hasn't been there. There has been more coming out than going in for years, and it's catching up. It's catching up, and I think this assumption that people have made that, well, it's always going to rain, it's always going to have snow, it's always going to melt, there's always going to be that water there. Not just there, but two-thirds of the country are seeing, because they're living in a drought right now, that things are changing. Paul, you had an interesting comment on it before we got on the air. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, how much water we got? Is that what you're talking about?
And why? Yeah.
Well,
yeah. And why we're having these things.
I live on the... Well, let me read Amos 4:7 to you. And also, I am withholding the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece of it was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into the city to drink water, but they were not satisfied, and yet they have not returned to me, saith the Lord. And in my opinion, that's what's going on. He's withholding it out there. I mean, you know, there's just a huge amount of food comes out of Southern California to this country. And from what I understand, the Colorado River doesn't make the Pacific Ocean. The water's all used up. So that's just a rumor. To me it is, but I think it's accurate. So, water's a huge issue in the South, Arizona, every place, you know. And someone I read the other day, he didn't know that water didn't run uphill. But it said, he who has the money gets the water. So that's what it meant. So, but yeah, up in the Northwest too, I've read where there was plenty of water, but they wouldn't give it to the farmer. You see, people don't realize that there's the children of the devil and there's children of God. And the church today believes everybody's, all the races are God's children. We just don't understand. Well, there's children of the devil that hate us and are trying to destroy us. And if they're destroying the food system, the raw material supply that we all need internationally. This isn't just here. I mean, I think this is God showing his hand and his power. And you know, we have evil people in power because we are evil people ourselves. The American people have a government they deserve, and they have turned to Uncle Sam for all their needs and goods, and those old stimulus checks were really felt good, you know, but they were still starving. And God is the jealous God, and he wants us not to go to them. You know, I remember when I was a kid, they used to have prayer meetings for rain. Now you got Rinky and Valley out there with the great big irrigation going around, you know, while they flip God off. Well, we can get our own water, so. But he ain't going to be mocked forever, let me tell you. And he's He's playing his cards at the moment, and he's angry.
And so back to what you were talking about, his children and the children of the devil, thinking about the fact that, you know, God chastens those who he loves, and how that parallels to us here as earthly parents. If my children and some other children are out there, and they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, throwing rocks or whatever, whenever I go there to chasten those children, mine are going to get a much different chastening than just some random children that were there from 4-H or whatever, the ones that aren't my children, because I have taught my children. My children know better. They know what's right and wrong, and they still chose to do this anyway, which is a blatant act of defiance. So there is a difference, and we tend to look around us and see that these evil, wicked ones, or at least the ones that we put in that category, you know, they can sin and get away with it. And it's not that they're getting away with it, but it's just they're not the same children that we are, and so therefore they don't get the same penalties from their father as we do. We are held to a higher standard, and we know better. So when we choose to do it anyway, there are stiffer penalties.
Right, so people in our religious system don't even know what sin is, so they don't even know they're doing wrong. You go back to Isaiah, one, you know, ox knows his manger and ass his crib, the stuff like that. But our people don't even know who they are. And that's been sold us from us over time. You know, sin is, the law has been done away with. Well, you have no standard without the law. And people don't know that. They just say, you know, obey Caesar. They got that down real good. You know, Caesar don't make the rules, you know. I read to this winter, and it just struck me so hard that Nebuchadnezzar was my servant. Joe Biden is his servant, and this whole thing is his servant. He preserves the wicked for the day of destruction, too, you know. So you make sure the blood's on your doorpost, because that's the only way I know to get through this, man. I had stored food dryer and silver and everything 40 years ago. I thought, man, this ain't going to last. Man, this has gone on for a long time. So, and it ain't done, but it's getting close. It's closer than it was, for sure.
Amen. Thank God he's a patient God. Well, we've got a Warren calling in. Good morning, Warren.
Hey, Richard. This is Warren. Did you guys have trouble with your prayer meeting Wednesday night? Or
yeah, we were
trying to receive it here.
Yeah, we were out of the we were away from the ranch on Wednesday, and had to play something else. So yeah, that's what that was.
Okay, well, I got a prayer request. I think I called it in, but with this little 10-year-old girl that was killed up here in Wisconsin, Lily. Supposedly some 14-year-old boy killed her and raped her and stuff. So I want to pray for her, for comforting, and got a praise report. My sister-in-law, Linda, passed away last weekend, and had a funeral on Wednesday. It was a beautiful funeral. The children, she died at home. All the three children were there with her, and they got to witness her soul leaving her body, just like I did with my mother. And there's a beautiful funeral. I heard you guys talking about the Colorado River, and you can't make water run uphill. You know, you can make water run uphill. You guys need beavers out there. They claim beavers can make water run uphill. And I was thinking about in that book, The Light and the Glory, when everybody prayed, even the Indians prayed, and it rained for 3 days and three nights and saved their crops. And we need some spring weather up here in Wisconsin, so that's what I'm praying about.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we've got beavers, that's for sure. I always heard it was Mormons that could make water run uphill instead of beavers. But it is dry. It is. It's tough getting the water out here anymore. And it's encouraging to hear, like Tim had said, that people are taking ads out in the paper and on the radio, reminding people to pray for rain, and that is sure encouraging. So, well, Warren, we'll sure keep these prayer requests in mind, and we appreciate the call this morning.
God bless you.
Thanks, Warren. .307-745-5913, and if you have a call, a comment, we'll be glad to take your call. There were more, kind of shifting gears here, more states. I think about half the states now have passed a type of constitutional carry law for defending yourself. There was some headlines out of Texas, I think two or three, Thursday, Friday, maybe, this past week, two or three homeowners shot in home intruders. That's kind of made the national news, however you want to say it. But it's just becoming more and more the lawlessness that's in the land, and you have some states, some that are listening to their people, that are passing at least the state laws that allow the people to defend themselves, and we're seeing it happening. Sometimes you have to dig in the media to find these stories, but it's happening more and more. And then you have some states that just are their leaders are strongly against it. And of course, you usually see that those states are the ones with the highest crime rates and the highest shooting rates. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting especially Texas, with being at the forefront of the invasion that's occurring in this land, is the Governor Abbott and the people down there seems like they're standing behind the people in being able to defend themselves.
It's significant that what we're dealing with here is while they're out there warmongering in every other place in the world, that we're under attack of all kinds here, and how that stuff's going on. And I like Peter talked about it years ago. It's like the people that came over here and started this nation, one nation under God, the real nation. They knew what they'd come out of, and there's still a lot of that blood running here in these people, in their veins, and they just, basically, we're practically the only nation of any significance in the entire world who says, nah, we're not, nope, don't think so, not giving them up, and it continues to be a thorn in the side of God's enemies, if it's not for them to be used, it's certainly for them to be a thorn in the side of God's enemies, that it torments them, that divine resistance could be exercised with something that says a rock, so I think we're seeing a lot of those things come around or continue to be brought to the forefront into people's mind, and I see a lot of really interesting or hopeful
signs that the power of God is on the move in our nation. And a lot of the things that some of these preachers look at in the mainstream religions look at it being a sign of destruction or a sign of depredation, it are actually a calling to bring people back to God. You know what I mean? To when something is so badly damaged or so badly broke or so badly that you can't fix it, you know, and you have to have it, who are you going to go to get it to repaired? It's obvious that man's abilities are insufficient. So he's calling his people back, and not all of them are going to listen, obviously. Like we say a lot of times, it's a remnant, but that remnant is there, and their ears are getting unstopped. You know? So I think we're seeing some of that go around, and it's just one of those things. And God doesn't work gradually. He's content, I think, to call us up to a point, and then once he pulls the trigger on things, like it will be a catastrophic paradigm shift.
Amen. Well, guys, let's go back to the phone lines. Tim, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
I've been in and out of the show a little bit. I got a couple of calls I had to take, but I heard you talking about the dryness. So I was wondering, did you get rain last night, Tim?
Yeah, we got a little bit. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but, you know, maybe somewhere between a quarter and a half. I haven't looked at the gauge yet, but enough to settle
us. I got an inch and a half up here.
Yeah.
It's dry.
I thought it looked like you were
getting
hammered.
I don't know how long it's going to last, though. It's supposed to blow 60 today. It'll probably dry it back out pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got it. So it water runs downhill, and we're downhill.
I didn't get in on the first of the show. Who all's on there? Jason on there today?
No, Tim, we got Paul from up north and Josh from down south, and so I think we're well represented.
Good. Back to the dryness thing, I heard, I don't remember where I heard it, but I heard the reservoirs in Northern California that they actually dumped part of them into the ocean. Had you heard anything about that?
Yeah, that was it was kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, but because they got to save the spotted suckerfish, see? And if they let the water go out to the farmers that have already plowed the fields and are ready for the water, then the little spotted suckerfish may cause harm to him. And so they have to dump the water into that, some stupid animal that they, you know, they use as an excuse.
They don't want to save any fish. They want to get rid of humans.
That's right. That's right. And so they come up with you know, some type of excuse and some you know, Department of Interior edict that says we must do this. You know, written by some left wing liberal, pink haired, commie, transgender bastard that you know is out of their mind. And but since they've got it written down, that's what they go with. And but yeah, they've done that. It's been the last 2 years. Northern California, up in the was it the Klamath Basin? I think that we saw that in I'm going to say in 2020. And the farmers are that, you know, that's what the reservoirs are for: store the excess water, flood control, all that. And then when it's time for the water, you let it out in the irrigation ditches, and it goes and waters the crops. You can only do that a couple of years, and pretty much you don't have crops anymore. You know, you force those farmers to sell, and then developments come in, and then you know, we can import soybeans from Brazil for food, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you guys go. Thanks for doing the show.
All right, Tim. Thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, we have rain in the forecast this week. just saw that. It's changed up from yesterday. Looks like some rain moving through. So that'll that is good. That's when we get our moisture is here in the spring. So we'll see. But it's dry now. It's a dirt, a gravel road that comes down to the radio ranch, and I've seen a couple vehicles on it this morning, and they're just throwing up dust clouds as they drive by. So it is dry, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Had an experience this week. You know, we pray for God to speak to us and God to show us and direct us, and then many times that happens in different ways. You pray about whether you should go on this trip or not and say, you know, Lord, if I'm supposed to go, show me, and if I'm not supposed to go, show me. And you pull out the driveway and the wheel falls off your car, that might be him speaking to you and saying, probably be better if you don't go down there to New Orleans to this whatever. But, you know, when we're looking and when we're asking, most of the time, God will communicate with us and show us. And there's all different avenues, conduits, ways that he does that. Well, this week, my son had an archery tournament, and he's been practicing. We've been practicing. He's a good shot. And so right there at the first, so they shoot 50 meters, 40 meters, and 30 meters. So his first round, the wind wasn't blowing. It's pretty good conditions, and he put his first three arrows were pretty much in the bullseye. I mean, they were so good at the furthest distance, the hardest shot. My wife put the binoculars down, and she was like, "Well, if he's going to shoot like that, I mean, he's going to win." And so the next couple arrows were still good. And they went and pulled theirs, and they came back. Well, the wind picked up a little bit, and he shot his second round, and he didn't do as well. He still did well, but it wasn't like the first round. And then they moved up to the 40 meter. Well, the wind got to blowing more, and he shot his two practice arrows, and they were high and to the left. About 6 inches both ways, and because the wind was coming towards him from the right. And we've talked about him correcting. You know, when you get a crosswind, you got to guide into the wind if you want to make that bullseye. But he had an experience at the regional shoot in which he made a correction, and he missed the whole target. So he was afraid of that happening here, so he didn't make the correction. And he grouped all of his arrows high and to the left because he was still holding on that bullseye, but the circumstances had changed, the winds had changed, and he was still making 2 or 3 points a shot, but he wasn't making 9 or 10 points a shot. And as he continued to do that, he fell further and further behind. And he finally decided on the last round that he would make the adjustments, and he shot a better round for his last round. But just thinking about that and us and me, and so that's what all the truth in the world is great and it's fantastic, but if you don't apply that truth, if you don't apply that knowledge to yourself, it doesn't do you any good. And I was thinking about that, and with our walk and our Christianity, you know, there's in the Bible, whenever the disciples are being called, they had to, many of them, what they had was good. They had a good life, but they had to make an adjustment. They had to leave that behind to get something better, you know, and they were taking a chance. I mean, you say what you want. Yeah, we saw, you see these miracles happening. But it's a commitment. It's a leap of faith whenever you walk away from your family and your profession and whatever you're doing to go follow Jesus. For most of us, it's not that. We're not looking at that big a change in our lives like it was with them. But just the fact that you do so much of the time have to turn loose of what you got. That's good and it's comfortable, but for God to give you something better. And to be able to grow and to be able to be where he puts you. And that really got me thinking, you know, in that respect and looking at myself and others around me. And, you know, just pondering that, that it is a truth and it is important that we recognize that if we want those greater things, you know, we got to leave behind what we've got. And so what's y'all's thoughts on that?
I think it's a great lesson for a young man. You know, sometimes you have to adjust with the circumstances, you know, not the situational ethics, but adjust a little bit to still hit the mark. Yeah, great lesson for a young man. I bet he holds to that. I bet he does.
Well, and our expectations frequently, in our short-sighted view of the world around us, don't let us compensate. And Josh already said it, but they don't let us compensate accordingly because we have a preconceived notion of how that's supposed to work, and it may not be the result of our experiences that brings us the victory in Christ's kingdom. Sometimes we have to, you know, it's like, well, that's what he said. I don't have any experience with it, but okay, I'll do that. I was kind of thinking back to what Josh had said earlier about punishment with our own children or correction, and you know, God loves us, so he corrects us, his children, just like we do our children. When they make a mistake, you know, you don't call them to the table of justice or correction for their mistakes or their errors once a year. And, you know, that's a great thing because God said he's saving those workers, those sons of hell and workers of iniquity. He's saving all their stuff up in the cup, and the cup's overflowing, and he's going to pour it all out on them at once and mete out the justice. And, you know, if you think about that in your life's history lesson, if it was all poured out on you at once, you'd never survive it. You know what I mean? But as it is, we get it when we need it, you know, shortly thereafter. We learn from it. We heal, we move on in a constructive fashion, but that's not God's plan for those enemies of him. You know, it's like, nah, I'm going to pour it all out on you all at once, you know, and that's why we tend to think sometimes, you know, we say, well, how come they can get away with that, God, and I can't? You know, I mean, what in the world's going on there, you know, and it's like, well, they're saving it up for that day of destruction. And, it's all going to hit them at once. So,
well, and also too, not every situation like that. You know, when there is a task or a trial or something that we look at as a negative thing. You know, a parallel of me making my son come out here and push mow the yard instead of riding zero turn. He'd be like, what have I done to deserve this? You know, and God puts us, or God allows us to go through things to grow us, to build us up. It doesn't necessarily have to be because you did anything wrong, because it's good for you. And it sure ain't easy to see that at the time. A lot of times when you're going through something, it's hard. But
yeah.
But when you go through those hard things, for the most part, you're going to do one or two things. You're either going to fall away from God and curse him and leave the path, or else you're going to draw closer to him, and you're going to look to him for the answer of how to get out of there and how to win and overcome. So that's one thing we got to remember, is that, you know, when we go through things, it's good for us. It's a blessing to us if we pass the test.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It can be a character builder.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Paul wrote about that in 2 Corinthians 2. He wrote about that, you know, to put us to the test. And that was true then. And, you know, a couple thousand years later, it's truer now, or just as true as it was then, that these things, you know, they test us. They are there for our testing, for our learning, for our instruction. And then a little bit later, in 2 Corinthians 13, he says, test yourselves. You know, test yourselves to see if you are, if you're on the right track, if you're doing what you're supposed to do. And, you know, earlier in our Christian walk, we have to be tested. And sometimes later in our walk as well. But then it should get to the point to where we test ourselves. We, you know, we're like Paul, and even if it's in our confession that it's, you know, Lord, forgive me, I do the things that I hate, I do the things I shouldn't, I don't do the things I should. It's part of that self-reflection and realizing you know, hey, here's a test, and we've either, learned from it, passed and learned from it, or failed and hopefully learned from it as well, and get to take it again.
No, earlier you were talking about atheists. You know, there really isn't such a thing as an atheist, because, you know, if God isn't in control, who is? Then you're a God unto yourself. And then what the question is, who makes the rules? Now, the power of what's around me, this is way bigger than me. And I couldn't create anything, and everything I do is of his creation. But all atheists are so arrogant to think that they have no one ruling over them. And that, I don't really believe there's a real true atheist, because if God don't make the rules, who does? And you think you do. That's just humbling, and they won't be humbled, they're proud. So...
Yes, you're absolutely right, Paul. I agree. I mean, yeah, they're all atheists are humanists by definition, because they're God unto themselves. So, and it's an awful little G God. So
you know, you don't really got to be smart. You know, under this regenerative your culture and everything, and then they always skirting around and just coming back to home. But you don't really got to be smart. God said, first of all, don't plant your fields with mingled seeds, which is hybrids, and the Lamb Sabbath. And if we were just simple people, just did that, God would take care of the difference. But we're doing everything in our power to get around them. No, I think we're coming home. We understand the food chain is not right. But very rare do I ever hear God give the credit. I went to a nutritionist years ago. He did spit and urine test, and he could tell you what's wrong with you. But he taught a biblical diet, and it's the only person I've ever done it. Everybody's got their favorite supplement and stuff like that. But the simplicity of the gospel is what we got to get back to, you know. We got to give God the credit, you know. And, you know, I was reading, too, also that Sabbath is very important. God really wants us to keep the Sabbath. You know, I can remember when everything was closed around here on Sunday. And then they started opening up. Everything's open. Now, I see some business around here going back to that and closing on Sunday. So I do believe the Spirit of God is moving. You don't have to be smart. You got to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice, God said.
Absolutely. And
He takes care of a whole lot of our problems if we would just be obedient.
Yep. You're absolutely right, Paul. And we live under this modern day philosophy that, you know, if you can explain something, you can control it. And, but, you know, it's like,
science is a dogma, and it's just exactly like the old story or that you told when you were a kid about three blind men who'd been blind from birth trying to explain what an elephant felt like or looked like. You know, they think they could explain it, but they were explaining it from their limited scope of perspective. And we're limited. We can't see everything. We don't know everything. And that's where our faith comes in, you know, and our obedience comes in. And because God can see it all. He knows the hearts of men, and he created the world, and he understands all those things. And if we cut him out with this religion and this dogma that's called science, why, that is to our destruction. Because your obedience then suffers. I mean, there's plenty of rules in the Bible that people say, well, that doesn't really matter because there's no scientific explanation for it.
Right.
And it doesn't mean it can't happen, you know. So it's...
You know, I think about that obedience. And Josh, like you said about, you know, having your son cut the grass with the push mower instead of the zero turn. Zero turns a lot quicker. It's funner, right? Especially for a teenager, as opposed to, and it's going to get done quicker, as opposed to, you know, plodding along with the push mower. But you know, you and I think you mentioned it. You know, there's you're wanting to teach a lesson. It's not just about the end result of having the grass cut. It's the lesson learned along the way, and I think God is that way with us. You know, it's not just get this task done, but it's how we do it and what we learn along the way. Anyway, it just that thought occurred to me that it's that discipline. You know, if you tell your son, listen, I want you to cut this acre or this yard, whatever it is, with the push mower, and he cuts it with the zero turn, that's disobedience. Oh, the grass is cut. Yeah, but not the way I told you to do it. Because you, as a loving father, had a plan, and you wanted not just to get the grass cut, but more importantly, to teach a lesson. You know, maybe just to see how hard it can be. You know, when so the son learns that when he sees other people doing that, he has compassion, he has understanding. Man, that's tough. I've done that before. You know, maybe that's what it is. You know, maybe it's to, hey, I want you to have this hardship so that when I do bless you in next week, when you have to cut the grass again, I let you use the zero turn. You're thankful. You know, whatever it is, and. But isn't God that way with us? And you guys mentioned it earlier that, you know, sometimes he puts these hardships on us, these trials. It's like Paul wrote, to test us, to strengthen us, to prepare us for what he knows is coming. Many times we don't see it. You know, I can sure think about that. I can think of my own boys when they were growing up and, you know, out there with the same thing with the push mower instead of the riding mower, and but those lessons learned and that's the thing, is to try to see and that brings us back to that obedience that everybody's talked about, is that if we can have the attitude that you know, this is what God said, so this is what we're going to do, just like we want our sons, when they're cutting the grass, to have the attitude. Dad said, cut the grass with the push mower. That's what I'm doing. And that's what we hope, anyway. Anyway, just it is. I think that obedience is huge. Like you said, Paul, we don't have to be super smart. We don't have to outthink it. Just like our teenage son doesn't have to outthink it. Just do what I tell you to do, and it all will be well. And... and I think that's how God looks at it as well.
Well, your obedience.
your obedience affects so much more than just you as well. And whenever we go through these, when we go through these trials, whether you stay the course and pass the test or not, Paul and I were talking the other day, and he brought up about Pastor Peters, how he'd been through this test and that test, and he'd had these losses along the way, but he just kept going. And I'm so thankful for that, because, you know, him staying the course and passing those tests helped to put me where I'm at today, knowledge level and you know, of what I see. And that, no, God did not have to have Pastor Peters to get the message out. But what a blessing it was to him for God to use him. And what a blessing it was for me that he was obedient, that he stayed the course, and that he didn't back up. And that's the reason why we got a platform this morning to be discussing this on. And how many people's lives were changed by one man's obedience and by one man staying the course. So it's a lot bigger picture than just what we're looking at right in front of us at the time.
Amen.
I remember one time I had a chicken coop here, and I was tearing it down with one of my grandkids. They weren't very big, and I was teaching them how to use a crowbar and a hammer. Well, then we would go along, and my neighbor guy, he's a, you know, slam bam, bit it done, you know, get, that's all it would do. But I was teaching those kids how to work with their hands and stuff like that. Yeah, I had a bobcat. I could have done honest myself, but I just wanted them to do it themselves. And but it was when he came over, you know, and everything turned around. But yeah. You know, I kept animals so my kids see how it worked. You know, I could live without them, but I kind of do enjoy them for the most part. But you got to know how things work. And people today are extremely stupid. You know, I was thinking this goes back to Samuel when they wanted a king, and how destructive Samuel was over it. And God said, the rebellion is not against you, Samuel, it's against me. See, Christian self-government is the highest form of government. The New World Order is the lowest form of government. And we have to regulate ourselves. And as this, blessed are my afflictions, the Bible says, and that says it all, what we've just been talking about. Our afflictions are good for us. And we're going to have a few more in front of us. And that's part of the, you know, the Bible says that judgment will start first in the house of the Lord. And why? Because that's where it's wrong. When the house of the Lord is gone, out of, lost its soul, the whole world has lost its soul.
Absolutely. Yeah, in the world today, the philosophy is the easy way out. Everybody wants, you know, what's easier, cheaper, easier, and you know, be happy. Oh, people want I just want to be happy. Don't worry, be happy. And those are not, you know, those are byproducts. Those are not the things to focus on. And the whole you know, Judeo church world has it backwards too. You know, what do they tell you about obedience? Just believe. That's all you have to do. Just believe. Just accept Jesus and believe, and that's it. There's nothing you can do because He did it all. And
accept Jesus and obey Caesar.
yeah. That's it. And it, and that is that. Like you said, Paul, that is that lowest form of government, that that new world, that's the new world order that is so old it's been around almost forever. But you know what's not as easy is that Christian self-government. What's not as it may not seem to make you happy, but when the word says, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. People don't realize
Look at the destruction that's come with the New World Order mentality. Yes. The families are broken up. The whole country destroyed. The family farm sold. Everything is wrong, you know. I lived through an era, you know, a lot of in the 50s. I was born in 51, but I've seen these family farms get sold, and they went to town to work for the corporations. Well, they lost their heritage. They gave it away because they didn't hold it. You know, they... You know, yeah, it's corporate world is cold and dead.
Amen.
But even with all that sin and all that movement away from God, like what you're talking about, Mr. Paul, and everything that's negative. They're poisonous in the food. They're poisonous in the water. They're poisonous in the air. With all that, God still got his covering over his people, and there's still a remnant. And you were talking about the other day about them thinking that the COVID deal was just going to take everybody out. And I agree. You know, I think that was a big part of the plan, was for it to take out way more people than what they did. But God is still protecting his people, and he's still got his hand on us. And it's not too late to change and to come back and to do. And, you know, you don't change overnight. It's not on our part. I'm not saying you can't make big changes, but it's a lifestyle. You know, it's a gradual thing of let's change this and make this stick, and okay, let's move this and let's make that stick. You're making those fine adjustments. You don't just yank across the freeway, you know, yank the steering wheel as you're going down Interstate 80 miles an hour. It's not going to be where you got to make gradual adjustments as you're moving. And so it takes constant attention, constant self-evaluation of where am I hitting the target. And, okay, well, that's not right, and I figured that's not right, so now we're going to correct. And, you know, we've still got that. We've got that opportunity, and the Scripture tells us that if we will repent and turn back to him, he'll do the rest. And that promise is as true today as it was the day those words were penned.
Amen. Well, guys, we are out of time.
America.
Paul?
America's not going anywhere. God has led us out of Egypt, and he's still leading us. It's just there's going to be a little bit of destruction in between.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're out of time. I want to invite you to join us at church tomorrow. I want to thank everybody. Men, thanks for taking time this morning to join us and for the comments. And Remnant, remember, Monday, May 2nd is the Passover makeup day. If you're not familiar with that, join us at church tomorrow, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, and we'll try to go over that one more time with you. And then we'll have a timeless pulpit truth and a new message and communion. So we hope you can do that. Scriptures4America.org. We'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.